Alright, there's gotta be something on.
They say the word shit like 100 times.
Make the bully drink piss.
Whoa!
What is this exactly about?
Sean's parents are basically on the verge of a divorce.
We'll come back to bite them in the ass later.
I always wonder, like, why was it always that kid's problem?
Did you see that?
But I'm sure if I'm quite drunk enough to see Meet the Beatles.
Of course you didn't. Nobody saw it. You know why? Because no one saw this movie.
It's like Avenue Q, only worse.
Yeah, it was definitely a rental for me.
On 3D, plus the IMAX 3D, plus the other theater had it.
Which was not really that hard.
Wait, where did he come from?
Internet. One of those covers of the video store, you remember?
Oh, this is that movie? Yep, of course. Yep. What in the hell is this and why is it on my TV? Yeah, I'm gonna have to catch this from the beginning.
What am I watching?
So. Welcome to the wet, hot summer in America. That's probably my favorite part is the rap at the end that, like, apparently doesn't exist on the internet. Like, you gotta, like, I may have to just rip it right from the credits of the DVD to put it on my iPod.
So I both hated you for watch this and yes. Kind of loved it at the same time.
Thank you.
But I'm like, the whole time I'm watching going, oh, I hate Dave so much right now.
Why the fuck are we doing this? Oh, by the way, we're obviously attacking this one dynamic duo style. This is Dave the Clone for What Am I Watching? And joining me today is...
Sean Fangirl S. Yes, we're back with this, but...
We're like, fuck it. It's 4th of July. Let's podcast. And what better to talk about on the summer, like the summer event? Like, I mean, I know summer's been around for 2 weeks, but I always feel like the summer doesn't really start till 4th of July, right? So, what better to be talking about than Wet Hot American Summer from 2001? It's funny, my DVD in my computer actually, I guess whoever programmed it on the desktop, it says Wet Hot Summer underscore 11-02-01. So, this was authored in November of 2001, but the movie was out in the summer. I was interning at a casting agency in New York, and I remember all the casting directors were really excited and wanted to go see it.
Really?
Yeah, they were all like, oh shit, have you heard about Wet Hot? And I'm like, that looks fucking awesome because there's so many people in it.
I don't even remember this, like,
see,
in theaters.
That's the thing. It's people either really remember it when it came out or it totally flew completely under the radar. Like, absolute no awareness of its existence at all. You're not the first I've run into that has experienced it that way.
Yeah, because... I know you were really excited about this, and Gomez, I think, was kind of excited.
Yeah,
right?
He's probably going to be a little pissed that he wasn't around for the dynamic duo session here. But hey, man, you go on vacation, that's what happens! You snooze, you lose.
Jeez. You guys kept talking about it, and I'm just thinking, okay, this is probably some really weird semi-porn...
Kind of.
Like, I didn't know what to expect.
And you know how many people, when I just say the title, I've said it at work a couple times, and people were like, what? And I'm like, all right, I know what it sounds like, but Janine Garofalo is in it. And they're like, oh, okay. And I'm like, ah, that instantly brings the porn aspect away. Like, hold up. Janine Garofalo wouldn't do porn. Hell no.
It was amazing how many people were actually in this, though.
Because, yeah.
Okay, wait, let's set this up for anybody who actually hasn't seen it. Which is probably a lot more.
A lot of people. Sadly, a lot of people.
Okay, wait. When did you say it was actually done?
2000. This came out. It was like the summer right before 9/11 happened.
Okay.
It was like August of 2001 when all the casting directors were like, we gotta go see this.
But it's a spoof of like a 1980s camp movie. But it's not a spoof in regards to like how Scary Movie and Scream are spoofs of... But it is
it's
really
like
all like, this over the top kind of tropes.
It's a genre spoof, really.
Yes.
It's sort of, but it is. I mean, I don't know if you're aware of what's it called? Movies like Sleepaway Camp that were like campy '80s camp horror movies. You know, mm-hmm. about that were about serial killers like stalking a sleepaway camp. It also is a little bit about Friday the 13th. You know, vibe in there, but it's also got like some meatballs going on too. You know what I mean? It's just like basically, I don't know. I never went to a sleepaway camp like this in the 80s, and every one of these movies that I watch just makes me wish I had. So,
but it seems like they all are like upstate New York.
Oh, yeah. It's okay. So, there's this other thing, And in this movie, they made a lot of little throwaway lines that kind of play into it. But I think it's also like a predominantly Jewish thing. Like a lot of the summer camps in the Catskills and the Poconos in the upstate New York and PA area was mostly actually like Jewish. Like, like even at that, in Hot, Wet Hot, like I'm sure like 90% of the kids in there are Jewish. And in fact, there's that scene, and I'm not saying this in any kind of anti-Semitic way. As soon as I realized I said the word Jewish twice, and I'm like, I'm not Jewish, and I'm talking about Jews. Oh my God, hold on. There's the scene where, what's her name? Janine Garofalo is like, all right, guys, the following campers need to have their stuff packed and out front all at right. 6 a.m. so the early bus can take them home. And it's like, Jill Zimmerstein. Dave Geffenberg.
Well, no, no, too, with Coop, when he's talking to his parents, and he's like, so sure that he's like falling in love, he's like, oh, I don't know, maybe she has kind of a big nose.
He's like, yeah, I think she might be. She has a big nose. And yeah, it's like lines like that that just kind of skirt under the radar, and you're like, whoa, what's going on?
See, because I never knew. They probably had it somewhere around here, but I never did anything like that.
Yeah, and I don't mean to preclude that there weren't summer camps all over the country, but at least, I mean, I'm from Jersey, so from here, it was always like, that was like a predominant, even like, think about like movies like, Dirty Dancing, you know, like the
right.
summer camp that they went to, like,
Catskills.
And that's like, not only the kids, like the whole families would go up to these like summer campy kind of, I know, right? What the fucking fuck? Who does this shit, guys?
Yeah, my family is like, let's go to Great America. All right. It's a day trip.
Yeah.
That was it.
But yeah, and plus, would you want to be at sleepaway camp with your whole family for like a fucking 2 weeks or the whole summer? I mean, I always honestly, and this is just me being a cynical, jaded bastard, I always was like, summer camp is literally so that parents don't lose their fucking minds as soon as school is over. They're like, yo, I'm not ready for this shit. No, 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 no. I'm not going to have my kid 24 hours a day for the next three fucking months. And it's like, I will pay you money to take my kid, let him sleep in a fucking plywood shack on a cot. I don't give a fuck. Just get them out of my house.
it was like I said, really interesting the amount of people we had in here. We had David Hyde Pierce.
Yeah, right. That's like an out of nowhere. Like, what the fuck is he doing here?
Right. You said Janine Garofalo.
Yep.
Michael Ian Black.
Yep.
Paul Rudd.
Yeah.
Like, when he came on, I was like, wait.
Fucking awesome too. Like, it is awesome, Paul Rudd. It's not the Paul Rudd you see in any other Paul Rudd movie. You know what I mean? Like, it's definitely, you're almost like, why did they cast Paul Rudd for this? You know what I mean? Like, the complete antithesis of today's Ant-Man is real. Oh, antithesis. Did not mean to do that on purpose.
Christopher Maloney, and this was actually during SVU, wasn't it?
Yep. And it was when he was also, because on SVU, he plays Mark Furman, right? Like he's Detective Mark Furman or something. Isn't that his character name? And
no,
it's supposed to be,
right.
I thought it was supposed to be the Mark Furman from, like, the OJ days. You know what I mean? But let's hit the Google machine while I'm making,
yeah, I'm like, that doesn't
making
sound
giant
right.
generalities here. Google Chris Maloney equals Mark Furman?
Elliot Stabler.
That's on SVU.
Yeah,
I know he played Mark Furman at some point.
He did in a movie.
It was probably a made-for-TV movie about Mark Furman.
But we had a lot of SNL cast members in it too.
Well, the other thing is that some of these people before they were on SNL were on a show called MTV's The State, which was like an MTV sketch comedy show. So, like, Joe Latrullio and Ken Marino and David Wayne, who directed the movie, and Michael Ian Black and Michael Showalter, they were all on MTV's The State. And so,
was Judah Freelander?
Judah Freelander wasn't, but he's like one of those weird alternative comics that was like,
he's like on everything. Like,
he's like, I think he was just like a New York scene comic. You know what I mean?
Oh, okay.
And like, because of that, any of these types of projects, like, he was always just kind of like friendly with everybody, so he would wind up in them. Like, he has bit walk on parts in like so many movies. Like, even like if you see How High, he like comes out of nowhere as just like a kid on the campus that the campus security is like giving a hard time to. And he has the one part where he comes in at the end as Ron. Hi, I'm Ron. I'm ready to give our marriage a shot. Oh, that's where I guess we're talking about Molly Shannon as far as the big Saturday Night Live alum that kind of screams
and
out.
Amy Poehler.
Amy Poehler, who also was a Upright Citizens Brigade founding member as well. So this was like, and again, think 2001. This is before, like, 80% of these people were popular. I mean, this was Bradley Cooper's first movie.
Was it actually? I was going to say, I can't believe Bradley Cooper was in this.
In a scene that makes Brokeback look very tame. All right? Like, I swear to God, I warn people as we're watching this. I'm like, look, you're going to see some shit in this movie. Like, it's going to change the way you look at Bradley Cooper a little bit.
But see, like, you've seen it, but you didn't see anything.
I almost felt like it was more graphic the way they did that. Like, I'm like, when you see their feet, that's when
it was like, wow!
This is so realistic right now. Like, he almost tripped on that soccer ball. Oh, my God! What's happening? Oh, shit.
Elizabeth Banks, too.
Yeah, holy shit.
All her directorial...
Yeah. In fact, this was before she was anywhere near like a household name. This is when I would say, oh, yeah, it's that chick from the 40-year-old virgin who played Beth in the 40. He's like, do you like to do it yourself? Yeah. And it was, I mean, I don't know, like everything about this movie, it's like hard to even approach.
It's hard to explain it.
It's hard to approach it, too. And what's even shocking to me, too, is that they wound up finding a way to make an entire season of Netflix show for this. You know what I mean? Like,
what?
You didn't know there's a network?
No.
Okay, so there's a Netflix. So this is The Last Day of Camp. That's what this movie is.
Right.
All taking place on The Last Day of Camp in 1981. Is that what it says?
Isn't everything The Last Day of Camp whenever you see these movies?
It has to be. And somehow this day lasts forever. Like, so much happens, and then the time card comes up and says it's only been an hour has gone by. You're like, what? What the fuck? Okay. And I think it's actually like a meta comedy, because it's like making fun of itself. Like when they come back from going downtown and they're like, wow, a trip to town always seems so busy, even if it's only for an hour. And you're like, come on.
What are they doing?
They did everything from going to the library to getting high at a fucking smack house. It was like
beating the crap out of the locals.
They ripped off that old lady's purse to buy heroin. That was insane.
Wow.
And that comes out of nowhere. That's like the last thing you expect from this movie, because it starts out very, like we see all the kids like waking up, and they're all waking up not in their own bunks. There's like a mad scramble for everybody to get, like all the boys to get out of the girls' bunks. Like basically there's a lot of fucking going on at this camp. Campfire Wood is a big porno training ground, I guess.
And it starts with the kid who's supposedly on the radio.
Oh, and it's the voice of Sam Levine, but it's not actually Sam Levine. You know who Sam Levine is from?
I know that, but I don't.
He's in so many movies. Here, let me Google his picture for you, because as soon as you see him, you'll be like, oh, that guy. Yeah, Sam Levine from Freaks and Geeks. I don't know if you ever watched Freaks and Geeks.
Mm-mm. But, I mean, just that he's like, okay, last day of camp. Mm-hmm. If you haven't hooked up with somebody, now's your last chance.
Today's your last chance to find love, so you don't have to go home and lie about something that didn't happen. Which I thought was funny, because that always just makes life suck. You're like, shit, man, this is it. This is the only day. This is the last chance.
Oh, okay, I got him.
Oh, fuck, like I was about to send you a link. I'm like, and there he is. Yeah, so it's his voice, but it's not him as the actual kid doing the radio announcements.
Right.
And actually, when they did the Netflix show, they bring all these actors back 20 years later, and they all look almost exactly the same. Like, because the premise of the TV show is the first day of camp.
Okay.
So, and it's all, like, a crazy amount of shit that happens in, like, 2 days. And, everybody looks pretty much the same except for Michael Showalter. He looks like he just fucking ballooned up and gained a shit ton of weight.
Really?
And I thought they were going to make a joke out of that and make it where he starts the day off, like, super fat. And then as the day ends, he gets thin. And then he becomes, like, the way he is in the movie, because the movie takes place at the end of the summer.
Mm-hmm.
But we should probably focus on the movie, because that's what started it all. And there was, I mean, to me, there were clearly no plans to sequelize this or do a TV show of it, but the show itself was just like... And there's an actual, in addition to the TV show, there's actually a documentary about making Wet Hot American Summer that makes it seem like these guys, for as wacky and sort of, you know, off-the-wall-ish this movie is, they're all fucking geniuses. Like, they're all really smart. I mean, they're... the way that they handle their attention to craft and, like, the games that they would play with each other, the acting games and, like, all this, like, crap to, like, develop their characters. I was, like, watching it going, you know what? This would be the equivalent of feeling like you're actually going to summer camp and at the end of the 2 months you have a fucking movie to show for it. You know what I mean? Like, it was almost like a project, like a space camp, but for making a really wacky comedy.
You know what was funny? The one girl who plays Katie... Marguerite Moreau.
Yeah, from...
She really does have this 80s kind of look to her.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, what have I seen her in? Because I felt like it has... I remember seeing her in...
Queen of the Damned.
Yes, which was just a disappointing movie.
Fucking terrible piece of shit that movie is.
Book was way better. Yeah. But, and I'm like, okay, I don't remember her being in anything else. I had to look it up. She's actually had a lot of stuff that she's done. But it's like one of those... She is that really cute... Like I said, 80s face.
Oh, yeah.
So she was perfect. But I couldn't remember her in anything else.
You kind of, like, fall in love with her as soon as you see her. That's, like, how cute she is. And I also remember her as the girl that Hurley was going to go out with in Lost, but DJ Qualls, like, steals her from him. It was, like, in one of Hurley's flashback episodes where they show him buying the lottery ticket, and he's friends with DJ Qualls and... What's her name? Margaret Moreau or...
Marguerite.
Marguerite Moreau. Mm-hmm. And, like, they're all friends, and Hurley has bought the ticket, and it's the winning number, and he hasn't told anybody, and he's going to ask her out. Like, he asks her out, and she says no, but then she says, but I'm free this other night, and he's, like, all hopeful and happy. Mm-hmm. And then we never see any more of that story, but he tells us later in another episode that, like, his best friend wound up stealing his girlfriend from him because everybody was pissed once they found out he won the lottery. And it's like, yeah, that's called jealousy, motherfucker, and that's... No shortage of jealousy going on in this movie, but it's almost hard. It's with this movie, you could kind of pick one or two storylines that you like the best and just focus on those, and then all the other bullshit is just like filler in between. Like, to me, Gene is one of my favorite characters. Fucking Chris Maloney as the Vietnam vet, short guy cook for the whole camp. I mean, fucking insane.
He hated everybody. He just hated that one guy who was cooking, like, his assistant or whatever.
Listen to me, Mr. Kickass, Mr. Rubber Burner. We gotta make 8 gallons of bug juice by the time lunch is ready. Do you know where the powder packets are?
And then he just randomly, like, throws something in there. And it's like, wait, what?
I gotta go, they're right there in the pantry next to my bottle of dick cream. Wait, what? Forget that last statement. Did you just say dick cream? No. I said stick ball. Gotta go find a team to play. Like, shut up, leave me alone! And just like walks away.
What was that? I have to go pet the sweaters.
I have to go fondle my sweaters. Gene, you clearly said you want to rub mud on your ass.
I did understand, like, he had the can talking to him.
Yeah. And it was the voice of Archer. It's John Benjamin doing the voice of the can. Oh, my God. So, yeah, see, this is hard to talk about because they actually sort of expand on that in the TV show. But I'm kind of am doing the podcast and even watching the movie trying to keep it in my mentality of when there was only the movie. And at that point, yeah, the can was just like a... Gene must be really fucking crazy from Vietnam. You know what I mean? Like, just really fucking crazy. But at one point, the other guy talks to him. He says, maybe you should talk to him. And then all of a sudden, the next scene, the can talks to him. So it's like...
I assume that was just like, okay, they know he's just a nutter.
And they've probably seen him talking to the can, and maybe they're like at their wit's end, and they're like, maybe the can help.
But then we have this other one, Janine Garofalo, who's the director of the camp, and randomly... There's a house on the campgrounds that's not part of the camp. And that's David Hyde Pierce, who is
associate professor of astrophysics at the local college.
Right. And I'm like, what the hell? Is he just randomly staying on a house that's on the camp but not part of the camp? And then he's like, she's hitting on him.
Like an inept idiot.
Right. And he's just talking. And she's like, oh, maybe you should come over. I said no. And he's like,
no,
whoa.
No, no, that'd be okay. And she's like, no, it'd be great. No, 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 I couldn't. She's like, oh, but please. I said no. Like, whoa, dude. And then she just like turns and walks away. And then they both, I don't know if you noticed, it's like one of the meta details about this movie is the fact that like anytime somebody throws something and it goes off frame, you hear the same break sound. Like, and it's the sound of a flower pot being broken. But to me, like, the joke there is that this is like in the 80s when they were editing movies, they would just find one sound effect and keep replacing
it. And use it over and over.
So it's like he throws something and you hear clong, and then like she throws something and you hear clong, and it's just like always exactly the same. And that happens a couple more times too later in the movie. Anytime somebody throws something and it goes off frame. And then later in the movie during the Capture the Flag game, there's a Wilhelm scream. Like one of the guys, like it's like a Star Wars stormtrooper. Like one of the guys, oh, like, ah! And you're like, oh shit, that's like from Star Wars. I've definitely heard that scream before.
I'd have to rewatch it. I don't know if I'm quite up for that yet.
The famous Wilhelm scream. Well, oh wait, so was this actually a hard movie for you to get through?
I had to pause it a couple times because I stopped and I swear I looked at my phone. I'm like, I'm going to text him.
There's another 45 fucking minutes of this.
It was just little bits and pieces that I'm just like, oh my God. I had to facepalm a few, but then it was like funny. And I would laugh and I'm like, okay. And then there's another one. Every time there was like any kind of facepalm moment, I'm like, I'm going to swear to God I'm kicking his ass when
what,
I see him.
But what were some of the facepalm moments for you? Because we're obviously jumping around. Anybody who's seen the movie kind of understands
it. It's
this is
really hard to explain this at one and
anyone
any
who,
of-
yeah, anyone who hasn't seen it, just go watch it and then come back and listen to the rest. Because
well, like when you have Paul Rudd who is the popular hot guy.
But total douchebag. Like total douchebag, you know.
And he's making out with Elizabeth Banks. And he tells the one kid, yeah, yeah, okay, go ahead, take it. And then the kid's like, talking about the speedboat.
Yeah.
And he comes back and then he like falls and he's like, I can't
Andy, help me, I can't swim, I'm drowning. He's like, you'll be fine, shut up. He's like, for God's sake, Andy, I'm drowning, please.
And I'm just like, oh my God. That was a big facepalm moment.
Blatantly just lets the kid drown. And then like,
and I'm just thinking, because there was a couple kids that just somehow disappear and they're dead. And it's like, wait, what?
Well, see, that is, I think, a throwback to the sleepaway camp, like to the horror movie. You know what I mean? Because not only that, then that kid's, like, swim buddy comes up and says, Andy, I can't find my swim buddy. And he's like, okay. He goes, if he can't find him, I'm telling everybody that you let him drown. Your job is to not let kids drown, Andy. And then he's just like, Beth, I'll be right back. I got to talk to this kid. And then they, you just see a van pull
right,
out
and they,
of
like,
the
camp. Throw the kid out.
And, like, a body come out of the camp. And it happens more than once. Oh, God. That's, like,
that
one of my favorite parts. Oh, shit. It's like, hey, where are we going? A big secret pizza party just for you. Awesome! And he comes flying out the door.
I think that was it. When I'm just like, oh my God.
Holy shit. Holy shit. Child murder. All right, here we go. You know what's funny, too, is that this is probably more likely what, like, the preteen and teenage kids of a summer camp would look like. When you watch those Friday the 13th movies, it's blatantly, like, 30-year-olds playing 18-year-olds. You know what I mean? So I think when we're watching those movies, we're a little bit more, like, not necessarily desensitized, but we're like, well, that's not as tragic because it's not a 5-year-old or a 10-year-old kid being murdered. It's like a fucking debaucherous teenager who is, like, a waste of life anyway. But
a debaucherous teenager. Oh, my God. You're like, they were sinning in the eyes of God.
In
so
the parapets.
Jason was in the right.
He swung with a righteous machete.
Water on my
I just made Sean do a spit take. Oh, that's what this movie does, man. Like, to me, like one of my favorite parts for Paul Rudd is when he's just sitting in the mess hall by himself at the end of breakfast. Everybody else has already left, and he, like, finishes his drink and then just throws his plate off the table, just, like, flings it. And Janine Garofalo is walking by, and she goes, Andy, pick that up. And he's like, oh, I was going to, but I can't right now. And she's like, pick it up. And he, like, does this, like, the child tantrum, like,
oh, yes. And like, then it's like he can't pick it up. He's like,
and then he finally, and when he finally throws the last, he throws the knife into the forks and knives, and he's like, ah, oh, done. You know, like he gives him that real shitty look. Holy fuck. And they never explain, like, why he's like that. He's just like that. He's just like a fucking dick. Meanwhile, that chick is, like, obsessed with him.
That's why I said I think it's, like, the over-the-top, like, characterizations of, okay, this is the hot guy.
Yeah.
And so he's probably going to be kind of a jerk. This is the hot girl with the best friend of the opposite sex.
Yeah, yeah, who's, like, leading on her guy friend, but who's always going for the douchebag.
Right. Yeah. And even if they get together, because you really hope it's going to happen.
It'll be short-lived.
Right. And then she's like, I got to go back to him because he's
I'm all about sex. Right now. Specifically with him and not you. I mean, you're great. You're a nice guy and everything, but I'm just all about sex right now. And he is cut. He is like an Adonis. So
had the inside kids, as they finally call them. The scholars. No,
where
the
are all the
kids.
Smart, nerdy, the inside kids? Oh, table five. Like Zach Orth, just yep, over there. And there were a lot of things that I always was like, how did they learn? How did they figure out how to do the timing on this? Like, after Paul Rudd's making out with Marguerite Moreau, and then she's like, so can I see you later? And he's like, God, Katie, you're, like, suffocating me. And then he goes in and does that thing where he holds onto the pole and spins around, and as he comes around, he's giving her the finger.
Yeah.
And then as he comes off of that hand that he was giving the finger, he turns over and walks by Zach Orth and, like, slaps him five. And I'm like, how many times did they do this to get the timing on that, like, it looked like they just did it randomly. And I guess that's kind of one of the things that's really cool about this movie is that you... From what I understand, having never gone to camp, my sisters used to go to camp, and it was like they would be gone for the whole week and come back on the weekends. And that's what happens. Like, you develop these little, like, idiosyncrasies with your friends. So, like, somebody could just be walking by, and even without warning, you just throw a hand up, and they are ready to slap it. You know what I mean? So, it was like there was a lot of that shit that got worked into this movie, too. You just felt like they were probably a bunch of camp counselors at one time together. You know what I mean? And
maybe they made him go do, like, a month at camp before they were able to actually do this.
Go to dick training. Go learn how to be a better dick, Paul Rudd.
I don't know. It wasn't as bad as I was expecting. I really was thinking, I'm going to go into this, and I'm like, okay, these two guys are so excited about this, like, arm flailing excited. And I'm like, oh, God, this is going to be a painful one.
Because it's a wet, wet, hot, hot summer in America.
I was really worried about going into it. There was face palms, like I said, but not as bad. A few times I had a pause and I'm like, okay.
What the fucking fuck is going on with this movie? Is it funny? Is it serious? What is it? What the hell is happening?
Like the longest raft, whitewater raft.
Oh my God, that was awesome. That whole thing. Victor Pulak.
But I could totally make out this girl. And then the girl is making out with, like, everybody in the camp.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that, like, I actually love that sequence, too, because he's driving and he's singing James Taylor and for no reason crashes the car. Like, oh, fuck! Like, we didn't see an animal run into the road or anything. It was
right.
Just because it had to happen. You know what I mean? And as that happens, we cut to her in the room, and the same James Taylor song he was singing is playing on her clock radio. And because as he got out of the truck, he's like, Abby, Abby! And all of a sudden, we cut to her. She's in her room listening to the song he was just singing, and the other guy from the kitchen comes along, and he's like, hey, Abby. Oh, I thought this was someone else's bunk. And she's like, no. He goes, oh, can I hang out? Am I bothering you? She's like, yeah, sure, come on in. And it's just like, dude, that's fucking insane.
And then you cut, she's... Later, she's making out with somebody else. And later, she's making out with some kid.
When he finally gets back to the camp.
Yeah.
And it's the kid who lit his fart for the talent
show. And we actually have from Big Bang Theory. Plays Stewart.
What's his actual name in real life? Because I always just say he's the guy from Big Bang Theory. Or I used to say
Kevin Sussman.
I used to say he's the guy from Wet Hot American Summer with the chicken. Pew, 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 pew. She's like, you haven't made a lot of friends this summer, have you? No. Why don't you be in the talent show tonight? Oh my God, Amy Poehler directing this fucking talent show was
because she wanted to do something hilarious.
Well, they never explain like what she has in mind. She just hates everybody. You know what I mean? Like she hates what everybody else does, I guess, because she definitely like even before they finally perform, she's like, "All right, just want you all to know the campers you're about to watch suck dick." But nevertheless, welcome them. Like, it's like, I tried.
It makes me wonder if she was supposed to have been part of the cast of Godspell, if they'd never, like, touched on that.
Like, in her character? Like, right. Her character was supposed to be, good call. That
it just, because she was so, she's like, what is this, community theater? And, like, she was just so angry.
Take five and think kids. Take five and think about what you've done. Or even, like, when they go to when her and Bradley Cooper are like, all right, guys, we're putting on a talent show. Like, look, if you can't sing, don't even come into the audition space, okay? Don't bring us down with your negativity. And it's like, and leave your baggage at the door because we don't have time for your bullshit. Like, whoa, see you guys. Like, okay, all right. Everybody's fucking crazy on this thing.
But make sure you bring your dance belts. And I'm like,
Lycras.
Is that stuff people were taking to camp back then?
I think you packed for like the whole summer. Like you packed for 2 months away. So it was
like. Lycra.
It was a giant trunk. Yeah. If you were going to be one of the dancers, you brought the dance shit.
I mean, did you know that you would be a dancer? I don't know these things.
Well, then, okay. So I know I never went to camp, but it was tropey enough that I saw enough movies about it. And apparently my grandparents' generation, it was a big thing, so I've heard stories. And I went to elementary school with kids who would go to sleepaway camp like this. And I think it's the kind of thing, like, you would go to camp, and then if you got there and they're like, hey, have you ever wanted a fence? Get a sword and join us. And people would write home and be like, Mom, they're going to do fencing. You have to go buy me a sword and send it, you know, and that shit would happen.
And
so,
suddenly there's a broadsword being mailed. And
has arrived.
That's not the right thing.
And it was also back in the day when you could probably mail a loaded fucking gun and it wouldn't have any problems. And now it's like you sent a letter mentioning a gun and now the FBI is in your fucking house giving you an anal probe. But that is yet one of the other things that has changed since this movie was made. Oh my God. It's funny, though. I watch movies like this, and I totally miss, like, the 80s and the 90s. I'm like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm sure if I was an adult back then, I would have a different view on it. But I just, it seems like even then, the things they were dealing with then were so much more relaxed and chill compared to the things that we're dealing with now that I just hate it. And so I think that's another reason I watch this movie so much. It's just like an escape to a time of old.
It is just a lot different watching this and then looking around at reality now. Even though this was made, obviously, you know, we were saying 2000.
Yeah, it was like right before the world changed, right before 9/11.
So it just seemed, and I know this is so cliche to say, but it was kind of a simpler time that they were showing us. And so the only things the kids ever thought about was, okay, am I going to get my first kiss or am I going to lose my virginity? Am I going to do this? You know, and like a lot of these kids in this who are able to go to the camps are like, am I finally going to camp? Am I going to see my friends that I haven't seen in a year because I only see them at this time? And I get that. And it was like, it just kind of makes you feel good in that regard because you don't have to think too far beyond the now, I guess, as those kids. But even like kids now, it's like, they don't even really get to think about that because it's like, oh yeah, my neighbor is selling drugs and he asked me to hold something. I mean, okay, let me give you a little scenario.
Oh, this sounds like a story.
It is. A big high school in my area, it's supposed to be one of the better high school, like not one of the better, like education wise, there's like three high schools in Lake County that people are like clamoring to get their kids into. Like public ones. They want to live in those areas.
Public or private? The public schools?
So they want to live in those areas. Huge drug bust. And it just hit national news.
That's what happened.
And it was in the high school. And it was actual high school kids. Not somebody who's older. Who's like working these kids. It was all high school kids. And I'm like, this is not the shit you thought about. At least not when I was in high school.
I don't know. I mean,
you knew there was people smoking weed.
Right.
But that was probably the extent of it.
Nah, we would see, I guess, in high school, I remember hearing about, I never actually saw any drugs other than weed with my own eyes until I got to college. But I had heard plenty of stories, but it was the like such a vast rarity. Like apparently there was like a cocaine ring in my high school, but it was so small and tight-knit a group that like if you weren't a part of it, you had no fucking idea. So when it got busted, it was like everybody was like, holy shit, dude, there was cocaine being sold like all over the place in our high school. And it's like, well, not really all over the place. It was just this tight-knit group of people. But it was big enough that I guess the money was significant enough that the police were like, holy fuck. But even then, you're just like, I mean, dude, I remember hearing things about people like blowing each other and being like, this is going on? This is how people are blowing each other? Like, what the fuck? And you're like, so, I mean, I guess if you're not in it, if you're not part of that world in whatever regard, it always seems like, oh, this can't be going on, you know? And I think that was part of the, maybe part of the myth that even a movie like this is dispelling, that like, hey, look, your perfect child, your perfect innocent little kid, when they go out to fucking camp, they start exploring.
Right. Like, it's totally different.
Like, these fucking kids were sleeping in the girls' bunks. Like, the opening scene is they're, like, all, like, in a room with 10 other people hardcore making out. Like, they're just covered with the blankets, you know? And then finally one of them is like, dudes, the sun's up, we gotta go! And, like, everybody jumps out of the beds. And you're like, okay, I really missed out on a thing at camp there.
Probably not so much.
Life would make a little more sense these days, I think, if I had gone to the sex fest known as summer camp.
And I'm sure your parents would have been horrified knowing anything along
those. Oh, yeah. Well, I was like,
if your if parents ever actually watched this before sending their kids, I think they'd be like, you're not going.
Oh, this is just a silly movie. Well, that's
the
thing.
Sending you to missionary school.
Position. Back in the day, though, I think people would look at movies and just be like, oh, that's just a funny movie. Ha, ha, ha. Like, you're right. These days, parents would look at this and be like, we have to travel back in time and find the people who made this and fucking crucify them. Because how dare they? How dare they present that this is a and you're just like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, is this what growing up on Adderall has done to your goddamn brain, you trust fund baby? Like, what the fucking fuck is wrong with you? Like, holy shit. So, like, to me, I still watch movies and I'm like, oh, pff, it's a movie. And then there are people who are like, you know, people who have different triggers for different, you know, traumatic events that have happened in their past. They're like, I don't know, dude, I watched that movie and it freaked me out. And I'm like, oh my god, like, I didn't realize movies can have that kind of power sometimes. So maybe there's an argument to be made either way. But I think maybe part of it is that I'm watching this and my mind even goes back to that simpler time mindset. I mean, I'm watching this, you know, like at the end when people are saying goodbye. And the only reason I feel like this resonates is because I remember seeing it with my sisters when we picked them up for that last Friday at the camp. Everybody's fucking bawling and crying and hugging each other and no one wants to leave. And they're like, you better write me. I'm going to miss you so much. And I as much as I'm like, oh, dude, I totally remember that. That's exactly what that's like. Everybody loses their shit. And then
was like when you're graduating. Well, okay, we had middle school.
Yeah, we did too. We did.
Okay. So we graduated eighth grade, went to high school, and people were moving and people were going to different high schools and we're like, oh my God, you better stay in touch.
Right.
And yeah, you'd be crying at graduation. So I assume it's similar, although because you're like 24/7 with these people, obviously time compressed and you're going to have those better relationships.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so I can get that, but it's like the weird stuff early. You know?
Well, it's also like, that part of it's kind of different today, too, though. I mean, like, for one, I mean, like to keep into why this would be such an emotional thing. Well, like, there's a good chance a lot of these people lost their virginity to each other. So, like, you're going to be basically like, I am not talking to the person I fucked for the first time until maybe next summer. And God knows how many people they're going to fuck between then and now.
You know, American Pie, you know,
yeah, exactly.
Like this one time at band camp.
Exactly. Like, band camp's kicking the shit out of the campfire. Firewood, apparently. But the other thing is that there isn't really the need to miss each other anymore because we have things like Facebook, right. We have cell phones. Like, in fact, I mean, the one scene in this where they show all those guys on that nature hike and all the kids are playing those little pocket video games.
Yeah.
Like, that is exactly what's happening today, but it would be happening in every, like, the people who aren't playing the Capture the Flag would be on their phones. You know, I imagine maybe summer camps are probably a little proactive in dealing with this, and they probably say, all right, at the beginning
there's
of the summer,
Wi-Fi.
Put your fucking phone in there, you know. Oh, yeah, there could be no Wi-Fi. That could be it, too. But
when that happens, I freak out. And
oh,
I'm
yeah.
not even on my phone as much as these kids are.
Yeah, if we have a blackout and we lose power and we lose internet, I'm just like, oh, my God, I don't know what literally to do with myself right now. Like, I have no idea what's happening.
Like, thankfully, I have unlimited data. It's fine.
Yeah.
Then it's like the cell tower goes out, and you're like, ah!
God damn it.
Ah! And you're suddenly that SpongeBob meme from, like, prehistoric era. You're like, oh, I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Just set a fire and watch it. Just light a fire and watch it burn. Oh, man. Let's see. There's so many other... Like, I feel like there's things that automatically pop to the surface when you mention Wet Hot American Summer to people who know about it, like the trip to town, the talent show where Michael Showalter plays an old, like an old
Catskills.
Catskills comic, like,
yeah.
You know, which was funny. They don't ever, there are some things that I also love that they just don't explain. Like, they don't tell you what the fuck that kid did on the stage to make the wind and how, like, and how it basically probably saved them from being crushed by Skylab, you know, and, they don't
they make that Skylab thing with spam cans.
Yeah. Tin foil.
Yeah. And a 20-sided die.
And, like, the whole thing with, oh, shit, we didn't even talk about Ken Marino, and I only have a couple minutes left, but when Ken Marino sees Michael Showalter talking to Margaret Moreau in the beginning, he's like, dude, were you just talking to Katie? And he's like, yeah. He's like, what were you guys talking about? Does she want to fuck me? Is that what she was talking to you about? Because if she does, tell her I do. I mean, no, you know what? Don't tell her. Tell her maybe. He had this whole, like, I'm fucking every chick here kind of vibe going on, and his whole thing with... You know, she promised these campers that he would take them on the lake the last day, and that redheaded she's actually a camper. She's not even a counselor. She's like...
Was she?
Yeah, that gets explained in the TV show. In the movie, they totally make it look like she's a counselor, but they just never mention what the deal is with her. And, they never explain how he's able to run faster than the motorcycle. You know what I mean? Like, when Joe Litrulio is chasing him to get him to come back because he's the only one who knows how to navigate the river. And they just leave these kids in a fucking raft, and it somehow stays in the same spot on the river. Like,
and they have no paddles.
Yeah. they had a bunch of paddles. I don't understand what they did with them. Like, there's this whole chase scene, and you just kind of go with it. You know what I mean? Like, I think that's part of what this movie is, too, is, like, you just have to kind of go with some of this stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and that's the funniness of it. Like, at the staff meeting in the morning, she goes, oh, yeah, by the way, there's some kids who are stuck in the ropes course. I meant to tell you about that yesterday, but I totally forgot, so could you take care of that today? That means overnight they were stuck in the fucking ropes course, and she just realized now, you know? And you're just kind of like, oh, I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with that. That works. It's almost like the training for the new way when Gene teaches Showalter how to get the girl and become more like Andy Paul Rudd.
Yeah, I love how they have that whole, like, Rocky
montage
training.
And, like, he's like, and it's all, like, that song that plays a bunch of times throughout the rest of the movie. They're like, taking it even, taking it higher. Which, you have to watch the TV show, because that song, like, there's a whole thing with
the song
in the TV show. Like, now that you've seen the movie...
But did the movie come out first?
Yes, 20 years earlier. 20 years earlier.
Okay, actually 20 years. Okay.
They made it, like, a 20 years later, and that's the thing that's crazy, that everybody came back, and they all look exactly the same. Like,
oh, my God, because didn't they make that pact to come back?
Well, that's what I thought the Netflix show was going to be, was them coming back 10 years later, but they actually made it the first day of camp. So it was sort of like... They reversed it. And, I mean, they do some pretty ingenious things. They do so many awesome things with the TV show. But you have to have seen the movie for them to be as awesome as they are. They'd be funny if you watched the show first.
Mm-hmm.
But this is definitely, like, don't do a Star Wars. Don't watch the prequels and then the original. Do the fucking movie first.
Do it in order.
And then watch the show. Because then, I mean, like, Molly Shannon's character, holy shit. Holy shit, the stuff you learn about why she is the way she is now. And her with that kid, like, that whole thing was hilarious. And I'm sure, see, that's another thing. Like, if they made that nowadays, this thing would be fucking protested. There'd be picket lines. Like, a teacher is sleeping with a fucking child on a cat. Oh, God, jeez. Meanwhile, it's like, yeah, we want you to be the guest of honor at our wedding next week.
Shit. Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that was really funny, and I'm glad I got to watch it.
I'm glad that you found some happiness in having had to watch this and not just, like, hate me for the rest of time.
I believe that was Flash Gordon. I'm like, why?
Just to say we've seen it. That Barbarella, too, probably. Like, watching that with adult eyes, I'm like, oh, my fucking God. Oh, my fucking God.
That's pretty much what happens when we're part of What Am I Watching? There's some that you're just like, oh, God, why?
Oh, just wait, guys. If you think these are bad, I've got some ones that I'm waiting to blow the dust off from the VHS collection. That it's going to be like, let's see if we can even find these somewhere online to watch. But
Make you watch an old anime first and then be like, all right.
Hey, you know what? That could start a whole special edition about anime, because I could just be like, so wait a minute. We understand that these are people drawing this, right? Like, if I see tits in a movie, I get it. The chick has tits. You got her to take her shirt off. Great. When we're seeing it in anime, some fucking pervert drew this shit. Like, okay?
As
like,
big as your head.
When you see, yes, and then tentacles come out of nowhere, and you're just like, okay, this is what I'm talking about, you sick motherfuckers. Are we going to watch that one? Are you going to make me watch that one that I walked in on you and my cousin watching, and I'm just like, get this
okay,
shit
first of
off.
That just sounds bad. I walked in on you and my cousin. We were watching anime, and it wasn't like.
And I'm like, get this shit off weird. My TV.
It wasn't. Well, okay, it's weird. Most anime can be weird, but it wasn't like weird, like you're probably thinking when he's talking about, oh my God, I walked in on you guys watching this. It was Parasite the Maxim. You want weird? I think the first one up is going to be Akira. We're going back a long time. They're trying to make this into a live action with Gordon Joseph Levitt.
I've at least heard of that one. This one I walked in and I was just like, what is this? With a hand, with an eye coming out of it. Like it was so weird. It was so fucking weird. And hearing it in Japanese and then seeing all the words on the bottom of the screen, I was just like, get this off my TV. Just get it off my TV. Whereas Wet Hot American Summer, you put that on and someone's like, what the fuck's going on? And you're just like, just watch.
Just sit and watch. And I think that's one of them, too. Like, we've talked about movies, you can come in whenever. You can come in whenever and watch it, still understand what's going on, but then you're going to be like,
I got to see this from the beginning. Yeah. What the hell's going on? Like, if you just came in and they were at the part where they were running to the infirmary, you're like, the phone, where's the fucking phone? And they just, like, screaming and tearing the place apart for no reason. And you're like, okay, that's sleepaway camp. Like, you're totally, that's what they're making fun of. But even if you don't know who they're talking about or why they need to find them, you're just like, this is fucking hilarious. Because Joe Latrulio, just for no reason, grabbed that jar and threw it across the room and shattered it on the wall while screaming at it. So, fuck yeah.
So, what am I watching? I said it a couple times with What Hot American Summer, but I was okay with this.
It might actually be the quintessential What Am I Watching? Because you could be like in the middle of this movie going, what the fuck is happening? Like, what is happening? Why?
But it's fun. We want to know what everybody else wants us to watch and exactly the kind of movies that they're like, what am I watching?
Yeah. Can we handle it?
Yeah, so
I think we got to do, for some of these, we have to do like a Mystery Science Theater 3000 style watch-along commentary that we can release and people can like check out. Because I think sometimes that would be even... I know there are jokes that I was thinking of while I was watching these. That even if I took notes, it would be like, what the hell did I mean by that? But if it was in the moment, you know what I mean? Like if you just wrote like Twix, assholes, you're like, no, why? What did that mean? I don't know what that means anymore.
Hopefully they'll perfect being able to beam us across country and make that easier.
Yeah, exactly. Otherwise, we have to do it over FaceTime, and then it's all fucking weird. But we can still do it. We'll do it for you guys, for the audience. We'll come up with a way. But this was fun. This was a fun dynamic duo for Wet Hot American Summer. I have a feeling people will want to do more about this movie. We'll probably be talking about it again and maybe even start covering the TV show. It's another 10 episodes of this kind of awesomeness, which who would have thought they'd be able to capture lightning in a bottle twice? But they've done it. Good on you, Netflix. So
So tell everybody where they can write us so they can tell us what they want us to
That's a good idea. I should let you know about the group we are part of called Hollow Nine Network, and you can email us at hollow9podcast@gmail.com. That's the word hollow, the number nine, followed by I-N-E podcast. And it makes sense once you do it a couple times. It's like, you know, you got to learn by doing. That's kind of how that goes. Shoot us a note, hashtag it, what am I watching, and let us know what do you want us to watch so that we can say, what am I watching? Or do you agree, disagree? Do you like some of our choices? Just let us know what's going on out there in audience land, and we'll keep pumping out more original programming from our side. You could check out some of our other shows, like we're covering American Gothic, Wayward Pines. What else we have going on? We've started our Twin Peaks rewatch, sort of.
We're trying to time it more for when the new one's coming out, so you get all the old into the new.
Yeah, for all the people who just like to, you know, do the nerd thing that we do. Sean, what about you? What do you got going on?
So much sci-fi talk happening, because sci-fi has so many original programs. So over at fangirlzone.com, Steve and I have been covering just about everything, and I'm so behind, but I'm getting everything out there, and more shows have just hit sci-fi, and I'm amazed and happy, and Jess and I have Preacher going on over there,
nice.
And we keep trying to get our book to screens, but so much sci-fi to watch, it's really hard catching up on all my books I'm supposed to be reading.
Well, at least you don't have to catch up on Game of Thrones anymore, since we're past the books on the show.
Yes, and Gendry's still rowing.
Fuck you, Gurm. Anyway. So, yeah, join in the fun. Fangirl Zone, Hollow Nine Network, all part of a little thing we like to call fan-made media. And we'll still be, hey, true believers, we'll keep writing them. You keep reading them, even though he won't be appearing anymore, but whatever. And we've got a whole bunch of videos coming out of the vault, so just keep your eyes to the sky, man, because that's where we'll be. Anyway, until next time, I'm Dave the Clone.
I'm Sean Fangirl S.
And what am I watching?
Facepalm.
Wet Hot American Summer is what you're watching. You've been listening to the Hollow Nine Network, bringing you the very best in fan-made media. Follow us on Twitter at Hollow9Cast. That's Hollow, the number 9, I-N-E, cast. Email us at Hollow9Podcast@gmail.com. Or find us at our home site, Hollow9.podomatic.com. Be sure to check out our affiliate, Fangirlzone.com. Find us on Facebook. Rate and review us on iTunes. Join in the fun. Hollow Nine.
Oh, here. The spinning
circle of doom.
Spinning.
Uh-oh. My God.
So, say hello to the night.
Everything that I was supposed to do today, it didn't happen.
Because of editing?
No, because I was trying to avoid editing, so I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to make potato soup, and so we had pork chops and fried potatoes, and I made potato soup and green beans, and I made a lot.
Fucking productive,
really,
you.
I really didn't want to edit.
I will probably stay up and edit after we record.
See, I did curry on Indian food for dinner tonight.
Nice, damn.
I've never had Indian food. I'm
what?
First of all, I don't have a gallbladder, so I'm okay. Really, really afraid to try.
I think that could actually be an issue, right? I mean, that's actually...
It's an issue with a lot of food, that so that's why it scares me.
Problematic, as they say.
Yeah, this was partly just celebration that we got our tax refund back. So we
oh, nice. It's Indian food for taxes.
Nice, get tax back.
Hold on a second. Let me grab a pen for a second. You guys keep talking.